love. He shows love. He gives us love. But not only that, but he is love itself. And he loves us enough to allow anybody here to miss heaven and go to hell. He is not willing. It is not his will. No one has to pray about, does God love me? No one has to pray or think about, does God have something on my record where he really wants me to perish? No, he is not willing that any should perish. He loves us enough to save us. He loves you and I, so he wants us to be prepared for this life and for the life to come. One of the reasons there is a heaven is because God loves us. He loved us enough to prepare a heaven. And then he loves us enough to prepare us to go to that heaven. This service is about that. Now, one service really won't do the trick in totally preparing us and completing our walk with God. But in every time we gather together like this, and every day of your life, you don't have to be in a church building to feel the love of God, to acknowledge the love of God, and for God to prepare you for that place called heaven. Again, I want to emphasize this for a particular reason this morning, and I don't even totally know what that reason is. But it is not God's will for you to go to a burning lake of fire the Bible calls hell. But it is his will for you to abide in an eternal place that he has provided for you, that place that we know of as heaven. He loves us. He loves us and loved us enough to die for us. Someone said that love can be defined in this way, and it certainly can be prescribed to God. Meeting the needs of another at the cost to oneself. Meeting the needs of someone else at the cost to your own self. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Our text said he loved this world so much that he gave. And I know that verse was very familiar. In fact, I think I might have heard some of you whispering it along with me as I read. It is so familiar, and I will even admit today, I just kind of toyed with just really slightly, just moving away from that verse because it is so familiar. But I'm glad it's so familiar. And just because it's familiar, it is nonetheless true. It is absolutely true. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, there's no limitation in this service or any other time, whoever believes in him should not perish, but would have an everlasting life. This is how we perceive the love of God, one writer said, because he laid down his life for us. He loved us enough to die for us. But that's not all. He loved us enough to live on this earth for us. When you think about that, the God of glory puts himself into fleshly form, and he leaves all of the splendor of glory and the eternity and all of the wonderful things that we read about in Scripture that is about heaven. He leaves all of that to come to walk with us so that he could feel what we feel, go through what we go through, and then ultimately die for our sins because our sins called for a sacrifice. I'm glad he loved us enough to die for us, but it all started because he loved us enough to live for us. The psalmist said this, "What is man, God, that you are mindful of him?" I mean, would we leave our place of comfortable living to go to a much less comfortable place to live? Very few of us would really just jump at that opportunity. But he came to this earth, the God of glory, to take on flesh that was going to be beaten. He was going to be ridiculed. This King of the ages, this King of God, he put himself into that place. And the reason he did it is not just to create a neat Bible sermon or a Bible story. He did that because he loves everybody seated in this room. He loves every one of us individually. He loves us enough to live for us. And not just live for us, but to live righteously for us. So that he sets an example for us. The scripture says he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. We can live righteously in this world. We can live above the sin by the grace and by the help of God. And because he loved us enough to live for us, he lived righteously so that we would have an example to look to, so that we would have a model. Look, if we want to know how to live, we don't have to flounder around wondering, what should I be like? Just trace the life of Jesus Christ. And I know sometimes that feels out of our grasp, but there is a spirit called the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And there is a process called repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name that prepares us and allows us and empowers us to live righteously as the Lord wants us to live. Don't let the devil, don't let the world, don't let any person or your own mind tell you that you cannot live righteously. The Lord loved you enough to make it possible for you to love and be and live righteously. He loved us so much. And he loves us enough to forgive us. Now there's the test of love. All of us in here today at one point or another, and some of us maybe at this very moment, have been in a position where we needed forgiveness. That's not always easy for our flesh to admit, our own human thinking to admit. But here's the good news. He loved us enough to forgive us. Listen to this description of this God who loves us enough. In the book of Daniel, he writes, "To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness." Forgiveness does not belong to you and I. Forgiveness does not belong to Satan, who will tell you you can't be forgiven. Forgiveness doesn't belong to anybody else. It belongs to God. To him belong mercies. The enemy would like to pull, our own thinking would like to pull mercy out of our life so that we would think there is no hope and there is no help. But to the Lord God belong mercy and forgiveness. They belong to him. God owns those, and in his ownership, he doesn't hoard those, but he willingly dispenses that mercy and that forgiveness. Listen to what it says about this God who loves us enough. Who is a God, Micah says, that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Look at this. He retains not his anger forever. God is not mad at you for your sin. God is not mad at us for our sin. We get mad at one another. That's not God. He does not retain his anger. Why? Because he delights in mercy. He delights in mercy. Sometimes it's difficult for us to ask for mercy. But God delights. It's not like he's up there in heaven today and we're going to have an opportunity to come to this altar or pray wherever you want to pray to ask for God's love and thank him for his love. But he's not up there saying, "Oh, I hope she don't come down today." And probably from that laughter and my own identification, that's probably maybe how we react sometime. They better not ask. Or I'll give them one more chance. And then kind of looking forward to the next part. And then that's it. But that book, that Bible that is always true, that word that is forever settled, said, he delights. Woo! It's like you giving gifts to your kids. It's like you giving gifts to your grandkids. Woo! Delight. He delights in mercy. He delights in saying, well, I know that by the record they may not deserve it, but my mercy says I want to give it to them anyway. He loves you enough to forgive you. And watch Isaiah describe how he is about pardon. At the last part of verse 7 of 55, he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly. Well, the first two down here get mercy and the rest of you are out of luck. No. Or the one that comes down and you haven't had a mistake for a long time, or the one that comes down and has never had to ask God for forgiveness before, and that's probably not going to happen in this earth. But if that's the case, they would get mercy and forgiveness. But he has enough for everybody in this room. He will abundantly. And I don't think that's just in the amount of mercy. I think that's God's mindset too. I think that's his thinking. I want to give them mercy. He doesn't want us to falter. He doesn't want us to sin. He doesn't want you to fail. But when we sin, the Bible says we have an advocate. We have somebody that we can go to. We have somebody that we can appeal to because he loves us. Now, you say, when can this all happen, Pastor? Psalm 86 answers it. For thou, Lord, are good and ready. He's ready. God's ready. He's ready today. He's ready right now. He has been ready. In fact, we're not waiting on God to forgive us. He's waiting on us to appeal to that mercy. He's not back there counting the check boxes by all of the failures that we have had. He is abundantly ready to forgive. All you have to do, you can say it right now, Jesus, I want your forgiveness. And by the way, we all know this message applies to all of us. Because even once we start living for the Lord, there's times of mishap and failure and sin. And we stumble and we don't do what is right. But I'm glad he's a God who will abundantly pardon. He is willing and he is ready to forgive us of our sin because he loves us enough to do that. And I would just say very quickly, he loves us enough to love us in spite of. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, in spite of our being sinful, in spite, regardless of the fact that we weren't able to promise him ahead of time that we would love him and serve him. You know, humans put all these little gates and all these prescriptions on the love of God. But his love is an unconditional love. In fact, there is nothing you can do that will make him love you more, and there's nothing you can do that will make him love you less. He loves us in spite of. He commends his love toward us. You do not have to get good to get God. If that was the case, where would we all be? And sometimes folks do get that process messed up and it hinders them. But here's what it is. We get God. We get his mercy. We get his love. We accept his love and his grace. And then he makes us good. He loves us in spite of. His love is a despite of and in spite of, a regardless of, and even if kind of love. There's no little phrase of description that you could put in front of the love of God that would cause him to be separated from us. In fact, Paul said that nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. No matter what I go through, and no matter how much I stumble, and he lists a whole lot of things in Romans chapter 8 that will not be able to separate the love of God from him, nor him from the love of God. And by the way, God loves us enough to change us. Now to change us, he has to confront us. I'm not preaching a God who just overlooks sin. Because he loves us. Because he loves us, he looks at that sin and helps us deal with it. He confronts us. And he chastens us. And then he changes us. And here's the good news from Paul in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any person is in Christ, they are a new creation or creature. Old things, woo. We've all got some old things in our life. He loved us enough not to study the old things. He loved us enough to cover those old things with his love and his blood. And then all things become new. Aren't you glad God loves you enough to change you? Woo. All of us needed changing. All of us needed changing. We felt like we wanted to go ahead and we felt like the change was going to be difficult and hard. And the Bible says that his correction, his chastening at the moment is grievous. But it yields a great fruit of reward. He loves us enough to change us. You would talk to individuals and they're in this room, all across this room, who have the testimony of BC before Christ. And then after coming to Jesus Christ. And they would say, I needed changing. I'm glad the Lord changed me. I don't want to go back to the way that I was before the Lord changed me. He loves us enough to correct us. If there's any correction needed in your life today, the Lord is the master of changing us and creating us to be a new creature in him. And the Lord loves us enough to remain faithful. You know, one taste of God, one wonderful service of the love of God like this one that is happening now. And then God doesn't leave us alone for the next 7 days. But he's a faithful God. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There is nothing that can change his faithfulness. He loves you enough to be faithful. The writer Isaiah wrote it this way. When you pass through the waters, God says, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. God is not a God that says, well, when they're doing good and everything's okay, I'll really love them. But when they're going through that difficult stuff, I'm going to leave them. No, he loves you just the same. And I preach now to people that are serving God and attempting to serve God and love God, or some of you are desiring to serve God in a new dimension. I want to tell you, he loves you in the midst of the trial that you're going through right now. He loves you. He said, I'll be with you as you pass through the waters. Through the rivers, they're not going to overflow you. When you walk through the fire, it shall not burn you, neither shall the flame kindle upon you, for I am the Lord thy God, thy Savior. His love is enough to keep us. It's an unquenchable love. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, the Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That word literally means, I have loved you with an unfailing love. That goes past what a mind can conceive. I am not even scratching the surface this morning on how much God loves us. It goes beyond human. That's why sometimes we say when God deals with somebody and maybe they have been real bad or they really have messed up, you say, does God love them? You just name some characters of our world, historical characters, and we would ask the question, can God love them? Does God love them? Oh, yes, He does, because His love goes beyond our mind's conception. It goes into the past and it goes out into the future. That love is an unfailing love. That's what Isaiah said. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing... Listen to God speaking to us this morning. When everything is shaking around you in your life, when things are being removed from around you, God still loves you. He said, yet my unfailing love will not be shaken. This kind of love is so enduring. It persists beyond any sin or any betrayal. It comes to mend brokenness and it comes to graciously extend forgiveness. The passengers on a bus watched with sympathy as an attractive young woman with a white cane made her way up the steps of the bus. Pays the driver, uses her hands to feel from bench to bench to the location of the seat that the driver had indicated was open. She settled in, briefcase on her lap, and rested the cane against her leg. It had been a year since this woman named Susan, who was 34 years of age, became blind. It was due to a medical misdiagnosis that she had been rendered sightless. So she was suddenly thrown into not only a world of darkness, but a world of anger, frustration, and by her own admission, self-pity. Susan had been a very fiercely independent lady, but now she felt that she was condemned because of this terrible twist of fate to become a powerless, helpless burden to others. And her questions were something like this: how could this have happened to me? No matter how much she cried or questioned or prayed, she knew the painful truth that her sight was gone forever. And so a cloud of depression hung over Susan's once optimistic life. Just getting through a day was frustrating and exhausting. She had nothing, she felt, to cling to in life at all except her husband Mark. Mark was an Air Force officer and he loved his wife with all of his heart. When she first lost her sight, he watched her sink into that depression and despair and was determined in his mind, I'm going to help Susan to regain strength and confidence and become independent once again. His military background, of course, had trained him to deal with very sensitive situations, and yet he knew this was one of the most difficult that he would ever have to deal with in his life. Finally, she felt ready to return to her job, but how was she going to get there? And so at first they devised a plan where Mark would drive her across town, the opposite side of town, to where his workplace was. It worked for a little while, but both of them realized that this plan was not going to be able to continue. And so Mark dreaded the day that he was going to have to bring the subject up. She was still fragile and still a very angry lady. How would she react? And sure enough, just as he expected, she was horrified at the idea. I'm blind. How am I supposed to know where I'm going? I feel like you're abandoning me, Mark. And of course, his heart broke to hear those words. But he knew what had to be done, and he promised her that every morning and every evening he would ride the bus with her to and from work until she was finally able to feel confident enough. And so that's what happened. And for two solid weeks, Mark, in his military uniform, accompanied his wife to and from work every day. He taught her how to rely on her other senses, specifically her hearing, so that she could determine where she was and how to adapt to her environment. He helped her befriend various bus drivers that could watch out for her and save her a place on the vehicle. He made her laugh on those not so good days when she dropped her briefcase or she would trip going up the steps. Each morning they made that journey together, and Mark would take a cab back to his office. Although it was a costly routine and exhausting, Mark knew that it would only be a matter of time. And sure enough, finally she decided she was ready to make the trip on her own. So Monday morning arrives, and before they left, she throws her arms around her husband, her bus riding companion, her trusted confidant. Her eyes filled with tears of gratitude for his loyalty, and then said goodbye, and for the first time, they went their separate ways. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Each day went perfectly, and Susan gained that confidence very quickly. She was doing it. She was going to work all by herself. On Friday, she took the bus to work as usual, and as she was paying the fare to exit the bus, the driver said, "Lady, I sure envy you." She wasn't sure what the driver was talking about. After all, who on earth would envy a blind woman who struggled just to find the courage to live for the past year? So she said, "Well, sir, why do you say that?" And the driver responded, "It must feel so good to be taken care of and protected like you are." And of course, Susan had no idea what the driver was talking about, and so she said, "What do you mean?" And the driver answered, "You know, every morning for the past week, a fine-looking gentleman in a military uniform has been standing across the corner watching when you got off of the bus. He makes sure you cross the street safely. He watches until you enter your office building. He then blows you a kiss, gives you a little salute, and walks away. You're a lucky lady." And of course, Susan realized what was happening and had been happening. And right then and there, she couldn't hold them back. Tears began to come down her face. Although she couldn't physically see him, she had always felt Mark's presence. She was fortunate because he had given her a gift more powerful than sight. He had given her the gift of love. And the Lord is your caring and constant companion. And even when you can't see him, even when you weren't thinking about him, even when it feels like everything else is soul-crushing and moving in, we think we are all alone. I just want to submit to somebody today. Because of some failures and some sins and some past mistakes, that has blinded you to his love. You didn't intend for that to happen. But he's a God that loves us enough to love in spite of. And on the times, even sometimes, when we were running the other way, the Lord was right where we were. Because the Bible says his arm is not short. There's nobody in here outside of the span. You say, where am I in my relationship with God, and where am I in his love for me? Well, according to that scripture, you're somewhere between here and here. I feel a desire, if somebody's here, to get as close as you can to his side. But he loves us enough to never forsake us. Let me speak to someone who is a attempting to live for God and you are successfully living for God, but earth's trials, because nobody is exempt from earth's difficulties. He's watching you walk up the bus steps. Even when we don't sense him or see him, he's there. He's there all the time. Would you stand together with me right now? And I'm going to give us an opportunity in just a moment for us to give thanks to the Lord for his love. Or if you just want to be covered once again by the love of the Lord and feel that abundant love and that abundant mercy and that... And when's a good time? Well, that scripture answered it. He's ready. He's ready. He's ready. Would you bow your heads, please? Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your love. And it is only by your grace, mercy, and love that we are where we are today. And then it will be only by your grace, mercy, and love that you help us to navigate through this life and then eventually make eternity in heaven our home. Thank you for your love, Lord. We owe you a great thanks today. I'm going to open this altar. And if you want to sense and feel and enjoy and entertain the love of God, or if you just want to love him back, if you want that covering of the Lord, I'm opening this for everybody that wants to give thanks to the love of God. This is a, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Altar call. We know we don't deserve it in our own rights. But Jesus, we're very thankful for that love and that it is not a limited love. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. He said that whosoever, he's not willing that any should perish, but that whosoever believeth. And so, church member or not today, I invite you to come and just bask in and enjoy and allow the covering of his love to touch your life. And yes, cover us, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that you love us. You love us. You love us enough. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, there's nothing too hard for you, Lord. Yes, you do. We thank you, Jesus. That's it. No matter where you are, would you just begin to give God thanks? Just begin to give him thanks for his love. Hallelujah. That's it. Make it a personal conversation. That's right. Yeah.